some of us. I guess some still need to provision themselves with coffee and stuff, and we'll get back in. Now we have Brett Hartz here from the Open Change Project, who will talk about their test environment. Enjoy.
So as was introduced, my name's Brett Hartz. I'm not a Samba developer. I have a few patches in Samba, as things really annoyed me. Open Change is a project that's built on top of Samba. It uses some of the Samba libraries that Jeremy talked about in the previous talk for people who heard it. I'm going to talk a little bit about what Open Change is, a bit of context, and then explain how we're doing some of our testing and try and get some feedback from what people think and kind of share our experiences for that testing. So the typical environment in a lot of large organisations looks like this in a groupware sense. I don't have a mouse cursor, but on the left-hand side, you see Microsoft Outlook. On the right-hand side, a Microsoft Exchange server. And the bit that happens in the middle that goes over the wire is called Exchange RPC. Some people know it as the MAPI protocol. MAPI is the API that, like, Outlook 2000 called. They haven't really spoken true MAPI for a while. There's still a lot of legacy stuff. And in any case, Exchange RPC was basically the wire encoding of MAPI. And in large organisations, there's quite a lot of reliance on this sort of stuff. It becomes really important. I did contracting work in a large government department, and you would call people and they'd go, sure, I'm happy to meet with you. Send me a meeting invite. And if you can't do that shared calendaring, shared resource view of the world, free busy time, then it's very difficult to work within that sort of environment. So Open Change, as part of the stuff that we're trying to do, is to handle some client-side stuff. The idea is that you should be able to use Outlook or Linux and some GUI or text-based tool for those people who are command line afflicted to access data to work within the same environment. And because of the way the Exchange server is set up, sometimes you have access via IMAP or SMTP, but that doesn't solve the underlying problem about those, you need to send me a meeting invite or you need to look at my calendar, because those things don't work over IMAP. We also wanted to be able to handle some server-side stuff. That is, we should be able to have an Open Change server that can substitute for an Exchange server. It's a little different on the left-hand side where I showed and/or, where we kind of have a shared view. Either kind of desktop is okay. On the right-hand side, we don't have description of the server-to-server protocol. So working within a existing environment, being able to have a Open Change-based client access server as part of the same server structure is kind of beyond where we're currently looking. Certainly would be a nice thing to be able to do for the future. It would be very nice if there was documentation that would support that. In the shorter term, we're really looking at this wire protocol between the client and the server, not within the internal server stuff. And I guess one of the bigger picture ideas here is that this stuff is shared view, and we see all kinds of convergence type stuff happening. But if we just think about it as desktop email, then that's kind of only solving the old problems. We really need to be doing, well, what happens if you had a mail client or a groupware client in your camera? Obviously in a mobile phone or something like that. If the old-style telephone on your desk, for people who still have such a thing, could use the same corporate address book. Hope that's still reasonably readable. So the idea is that we're trying to implement the Microsoft Exchange protocols. The And here the context is basically as used by Outlook. We don't work within the same WSPP, MCPP stuff that the Samba team are really familiar with. There's a separate set of documentation. I did a quick check. It's about 7,800 pages, of which about 3,800 is the direct Exchange RPC stuff. It's a free open source software project, looking at client and server as I discussed. One of the things that's important is that that documentation set for Exchange is built on top of a whole heap of assumptions, including things like how RPC works. So the RPC layer transports stuff, be it over IP or over HTTP, is not in that documentation set. That's in the underlying documentation set. So it's part of the Windows Server stuff. And that leads to some interesting organisational issues, like when we deal with Microsoft, the people that we deal with don't, like at the developer level, they have very little understanding of the RPC stack implementation because them it's just a service. That's sometimes a little bit limiting, but it's also really valuable because that same sort of abstraction works for us. We just use the Samba libraries. The same DCE RPC stuff that Samba has, we use that too. The T-Event, the Talloc, and some other database libraries. So those are the goals. Interoperability with the Exchange protocol. Providing alternative product to the Exchange server. And also this third objective about developing body of knowledge about the groupware protocol. That was in the original description. This is actually prior to the release of Exchange RPC documentation. But I think it's still an important objective that this is documentation for Exchange developers, for OpenChange developers, and for anyone else who wants to be able to use this protocol in the future. So I certainly spend a reasonable amount of my time trying to provide back feedback on the documentation, not just writing code based off it. OpenChange and Samba have a cooperative but not always entirely happy relationship. So they're separate projects that run on separate release cycles. Quite different developers. The amount of stuff I put into OpenChange is pretty limited. Into Samba is pretty limited. And occasionally we get changes. Got changes from Tridge and changes from Metz that apply to OpenChange. But different focus and different timescale. We use the Samba libraries, but that gets really interesting about the points where they're not always public. So Samba 3 didn't really have any idea of an external user. Samba 4 certainly has that perspective, but it doesn't always work out as well in practice as we might like. So some of the base libraries are really good, really mature, and have really good coverage. And there's other places where we've reached deeper into Samba than maybe we should have. And there's some work still required there to sort out a set of stable APIs and ABIs for the Samba 4.0 release that meets the OpenChange needs. I guess the other part is that an OpenChange server is not a standalone entity. It's a module within the Samba 4 server. What used to be called SMBD and is now called Samba as the executable. And the other thing, I guess, is that OpenChange, in a lot of ways, is a test case for Samba, that we're using those external libraries in ways that are different to the way that the original developers assumed. So occasionally we find bugs, we see changes of behaviour. Sometimes it's because we've relied on something that probably wasn't as good as it could have been. Sometimes it's just there was a refactoring inside Samba 4, that header didn't make it back into the build system export list, and it works fine for the internal build, it just doesn't work when we try and link, compile. So I end up with this sort of problem where the Samba guys are really friendly, but sometimes I'm stuck between release cycles where, because we have our upstreams too. Projects like Evolution that implement the GUI part of the client side, they want stable releases of OpenChange. And OpenChange needs stable releases of Samba. So sometimes you just get a bit stuck. And it, just like in this case, sometimes it's of my own making. So a little bit of idea about testing. Really basic testing. We had some quite a lot of warnings, done quite a lot of work to get them down. There's only about 4 warnings in an OpenChange build. As long as you're using GCC. If you use a really old version of GCC, you don't get any, maybe 1. If you use a really modern version of GCC, the 4.6 release, you get more. If you use Clang, which is a static analyzer that's part of the LLVM project, my testing during the previous talk says 593 warnings. And the Intel C compiler sort of fits between those. What's really interesting is, I guess, for people who are considering or don't have access to tools like Coverity, and we don't have, is that it's a really nice presentation. You get a nice HTML presentation of the world. But of those 593 errors, and you see them as basically a HTML dump, there's a lot of commonality between them. And in fact, when I put it in to a database and said, please give me the unique entities, you actually end up with only about 15 distinct error messages. And the error message includes the variable name for things like unused variables. So we have so much code that's equivalent. It's equivalent down to the point where we use the same variable name in different places. That we might be able to fix a lot of those errors as a whole class of errors. And I guess that's an interesting thing for the future. Had some interesting experience with stuff that compiles, but because you need to install and build and configure Samba, that is basically editing smb.conf, starting the server, then running some tests against in a client-server approach. The more testing we did, the more value we got, the more confidence we had, but also the test system itself became quite brittle. Samba had syntax changes in how you specified an extra module. We had changes where we ended up with race conditions because I did some of these tests on the same virtual machines or the same real hardware. So depending on what was happening with any other build, sometimes the builds interfered. Wasn't the direct install, but things like picking up the wrong LD library path got a little bit hairy. Scaled back to a more stable release where the test environment is less brittle. The downside to that is I have less confidence that all of those things work. One thing that we did suffer from quite frequently was that we'd make API changes, forget to update examples, or forget to update documentation. So adding just a basic also managed to remember to build the examples stage in the build system, picked up quite a lot of that stuff, and running Doxygen automatically was also a valuable change. And I guess having gone to all that effort, there's a question about, well, are those tests actually showing anything? So we have some coverage. One of the discussions we were having during the break was about testing this body of knowledge thing. I mean, if that's one of the goals of the project, we should have some tests. So most of this is kind of qualitative assessment. We find problems in our understanding, or we talk to people and they go, that's not the way it works. But also, we have some of the documentation set that we don't type in manually. We actually parse it automatically. There's a Python script, turns PDF into text, text into data structures into C code. As part of that, we can actually test the Microsoft documentation and say, that can't possibly be the right GUID, there's not enough letters. Or that description section reference for where to go and find more detail about this property. There's no documentation, or those words don't appear in that documentation set. I actually thought it would be really slow, but we can do a run in about 45 seconds to check the largest of documentation, about 400 odd pages. I guess a little bit of philosophy about bugs. There's never only one bug. And it does involve a bit of getting underneath the couch and getting a bit of dust. But if all we're doing is finding and patching bugs, then we're probably always going to be going backwards. Or at least we're going to be climbing a pretty steep slope. And I guess ideally we would have some tools that can find these problems and eliminate them in whole classes of areas. Ideally, yeah, realistically, maybe not. But I guess it's important to maintain some perspective, and that is that bugs are in themselves a problem, but more importantly, they're an indicator of health. So testing doesn't tell you about all the bugs. And treating a test run as a strict pass-fail thing is probably the wrong idea. So I come back to my title about growing up healthy. So testing tells you about health, and if the number of bugs keeps going up, or you keep getting the same bugs over and over, you're making the same mistakes. You need to be doing something different. And I'm not a really big fan of metrics, but the trends probably matter more than the specifics in an overall understanding of the project. But certainly, ideally, we'd be trying to eliminate whole classes of bugs. That is, can we use some smarter tools? If we don't have all the properties, then having something that automatically generates them from the PDF is better than trying to update it each time Microsoft updates the documentation by hand. Some specific tools that we've been using. MapiTest. It's a hand... or an additional tool that we wrote that basically does a whole heap of testing of RPC operations. The Exchange RPC set is quite large. There's about 135 different remote operations in the Exchange set. There's some separate ones for address book and that sort of stuff. For a while, we tried SMB Torture. That's not very friendly, and we found better suited to protocol exploration than to regression testing. So we came up with this tool, MapiTest, basically on the command line. And that really exercises our IDL implementation, which is basically how we generate the stubs for people who saw Andreas's talk. Not all of the tests require a server, but most of them do. Probably 80% of them require a server. And we have different behaviour depending on whether we think we're talking to an Exchange 2003-2007 server or an Exchange 2010 server, because there's things that worked in previous versions that don't work in new versions. Exchange Client, or sorry, OpenChange Client and Mappy Profile are kind of more user-oriented tools. You could probably use them in some kind of non-GUI production environment. So there's basically a way to say, here's a message, here's the body, here's the title, I'd like some HTML, make that happen from a command line. Mappy Profile is a thing for basically creating yourself a login, a set of user account credentials that we use for future operations. Those things are useful for testing as well. One of the biggest things we've found is that when we kind of fit in this stack between top-level tools like Evolution, then kind of our libraries as sort of middleware to talk to other things, and Samba libraries that kind of do the stuff on the wire, and there's a bug. The user sees something doesn't work. It's really useful to say, do I think the problem occurs in my part of the stack or in the Evolution part or in the Samba part? And being able to use these tools on a command line, basically eliminating the Evolution dependency, is pretty useful. We also have some of those tools running a little black box script that tries a whole heap of exercising the tools. Basically just to check the tool behaviour. Code coverage for those sorts of tools, variable. For people who've seen GCov output, LCov is a way of basically making it look like something that tells you whether things are good or bad rather than trying to figure out what the stars and hashes mean. Pretty good coverage of lines, not so good coverage of branches. And that's pretty typical for a lot of this stuff where there's a lot of error handling cases. Stimulating those errors is often pretty difficult. It would require probably to be able to break the Samba stack in weird and wonderful ways. We also have some special purpose test application. There's some tricks in the exchange protocol called asynchronous notifications. One of them involves you tell the server about a UDP destination on the client so the server can tell you when things have changed. Testing that turns out to be a bit more difficult than we would have originally liked. There's an even more complex way that involves an extra connection that's associated to the main connection. That turns out to be really, really difficult to test in an automated way because if you make changes, you don't get the notifications because they just come back as part of the reply. So you really need kind of two separate tools working independently. So doing fully automated testing of that, we don't have yet, but we do have some support tools. Fast transfer is basically a way of serializing huge amounts of messages, like a whole folder worth of stuff. So we have some special case stuff for the parser for that. And we also have some stuff in C++ and Python. Julian's going to talk some more about Python stuff during his part of the talk. The next thing we're really looking forward to adding, Microsoft has been developing some test suites as part of their work on the protocol documentation. Basically, they found some contractors, made them write a complete independent RPC stack and some stuff that fits on top of it. We got to see that stuff in January. It was still a little bit rough, but even in the state that it was in, it pretty much kicked my backside on a whole heap of server testing. It doesn't do any testing of the client side, and that would be nice, but we kind of need test servers to do that, I guess. It was a valuable experience, a humbling experience, and I'm reliably informed that it's in final QA for release this week, so we're looking to see that in the pretty near future. And we plan to bundle that into our continuous integration framework. We use BuildBot, so be able to run these tests. That's probably going to be brittle again, that same sort of problem that I talked about. But in this case, there's so much value in those tests, we will probably live with it. As I said, there's higher-level users. This is a screenshot courtesy Novell guys. It's actually pretty old now. But that's basically Evolution talking to a Microsoft Exchange server. And the way that works is basically it calls into some OpenChange libraries. Those OpenChange libraries call into Samba. Stuff gets shipped across the wire. And Exchange goes, here's your mail. Here's your free busy view. Here's your global address book. So whilst I would like to be able to eliminate all those problems, I think the test suite probably gives us more of a reduction idea. Okay, so this picture doesn't have much relevance, but it was still pretty nice. This is kind of a pretty sad view of our continuous integration framework. What's important is not this one. That test passed. But all of these ones. The builders that do the work are all offline. Because the virtual machines that I run them on were on a machine that was disconnected from the network while I upgraded it, and that took a lot longer than it should have. Quite a lot of lessons learned about things that probably only apply to people who live in places with rubbish networking like Australia. I had this in my workplace, and there was a little bit of an excessive use of network bandwidth. In Australia, we pay per meg, per gig. And when you go over your allowance, sometimes you get shaped. Your ADSL line or VDSL line turns into a 56K modem line. And other times they charge you extra. In this case, 800 Australian dollars, maybe 600 euros for exceeding the bandwidth limit for this month. Maybe I did a few too many checkouts of Samba because it cloned the whole Git tree as part of the tests. Maybe it wasn't my fault. So working around those sorts of problems, getting a fully reliable infrastructure does take a lot of work. It would easily soak a few days at a time when I go and do more work on this. Things do get better. Whilst this server are still broken, these ones are mostly working and they're telling me useful information, and these ones are probably going to work. And that one will probably work at some point. That's the Clang analyzer. And in this case, it's having a little bit of trouble finding the Samba libraries to link to. It kind of got really messy to do in a virtual environment. BuildBot has not panned out as well as we would have liked. It's too much of a time sink. It probably needs someone to look after it full time. And since there's kind of only a couple of full-time developers, that's a lot of test commitment. It would be really nice to have some way to aggregate a lot of these results. I've got 593 outputs of Clang. Being able to put them into a database was kind of useful. Being able to get them back out, being able to see trends, don't really have tools set up to do that yet. Did find a really interesting reference to a tool called the Software Quality Observatory, open source software. It was an EU research project. They did a whole heap of aggregation to try and do evaluation of software quality, which basically turned out to be an Eclipse GUI and some way to do line counts. But the framework should be able to do a lot of other things. In the longer term, fixing all those bugs, but also really trying to improve health. Are there more questions? Do people have any comments or suggestions?
No questions. So basically, this is a two-part talk. So Julian Carroll is following just after. And if you develop questions during his talk that belong to this one, because you got more information, I guess you are willing to answer questions later too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, okay. Thank you very much for your talk. So now we have a 15-minute break before we start with the next talk to give the other